Today, the ups and downs on inflation. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, world's latest post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. So the ABS has released the latest CPI data today, and it's worth going through this in some detail because there are some very significant and important moving parts. So I'm going to walk through the material from the ABS site directly. So let's start with the headline news. That the consumer price index rose 0.9% this quarter, and over the 12 months to December 2020, the CPI rose 0.9%. The most significant price rise was tobacco, up 10.9%, and the most significant price fall was electricity at 7.5%. And here is the graphical representation of those changes, which shows that after a considerable fall a couple of quarters ago, in June 2020, it was down minus 1.9%. Now we're up at 0.9% this time around. And it's worth looking across the different categories at a high level. And you'll see there that there are a few significant changes this quarter, including transport, which is up 0.9%, education up 1.2%, recreation and culture up 1.6, and furnishings, household equipment and services up 3.4, and alcohol and tobacco up 4.2. And over the year, you can see there that the tobacco change was significant. That's because of an excise change, which we'll talk about in a moment. And there are a number of negative moves, including overall transportation costs. So there's a net drop over the year. Now, this next chart just shows the weighted average of the capital cities from the previous quarter, and it really just highlights again alcohol and tobacco, furnishings, equipment and services as the two most significant categories. But I also want to highlight the housing element, because that's reporting a fall down 0.6% over the quarter. Now, we can have a discussion about whether that's realistic in a moment or two. But first, let's start by looking at the food and non-alcoholic beverages group, which was up 0.2%. There was a rise of 1.1% in meats, takeout and takeaway foods, 3.4% in fruit, and 3% in beef and veal. There was a fall of 6% in vegetables. That was thanks to an easing of drought conditions. And annually, the group rose 2.3% due to the lessening impact of the drought. Turning to alcohol and tobacco, there was a 10.9% rise in tobacco, and that was due to the annual excise tax increase of 12.5% and the biannual excise tax increase based on the average weekly ordinary time earnings, both applied on the 1st of September 2020. And so over the past 12 months, the group rose 9.3%, and in season-adjusted terms, the group rose 2.4%. In both cases, the main contributor was tobacco. And now if we look at clothing and footwear, down 1% overall. There was a fall of 5.4% in garments for women, and over the last 12 months, the group fell 1.3%. Now, housing was quite interesting because electricity fell 7.5%. That's the strongest quarterly fall in the history of the series. And that was due to a $600 housing electricity credit introduced on the 1st of November by Western Australia, resulting in a significant fall in electricity prices in Perth, down actually 66.7%. So this is not a national adjustment. Now, there was also a rise of 0.7% in the series for new dwellings purchased by owner-occupiers. House builders passed through increases in project home prices and reductions in the value of promotional offers in response to higher demand. The price rise was partially offset by the impact of home builder and state-based grants in Western Australia and Tasmania. Without these grants, new dwelling purchases by owner occupiers would have risen by 1.3%, and we'll see a chart in a second on that. Rents recorded a small rise following two quarters of falls. In fact, rental market conditions are improving across most capital cities, consistent with falling vacancy rates and advertised rates. However, I must tell you that apartments in Sydney and Melbourne are still falling. However, rent freezes for existing tenants remain in place in some states and territories. And over the past 12 months, the group fell 0.9%, which was the most significant fall since 1998. And the fall was driven by utilities and rents. So you've got to ask yourself, is this a fair reflection of the cost of housing? I don't think it is. Bearing in mind that mortgages are bigger, and bearing in mind that whilst interest rates are lower than they were, the costs of housing for many people have actually increased, not decreased. Now, let's look at the chart which shows how new dwelling purchases for owner-occupiers changed from the previous quarter. And you can see there that there are considerable rises in Melbourne, Brisbane and Perth, whilst there was a considerable fall in Darwin thanks to government grants. And so here you can see the impact of all the government stimulus on the housing sector. Firstly, by Home Builder, which basically reduced the costs, but of course didn't reduce the costs because all the developers lifted the price of property by more than the grant. So that was a zero-sum game. If we go through Furnishings, Household Equipment and Services Group, that was up 3.4%. And in there, there's a massive rise of 37.7% in childcare. And that was because out-of-pocket expenses for childcare returned to pre-COVID levels. And excluding the impact of childcare, the group would have fallen 0.7%. There were falls in non-durable household products and other categories too. But this Furnishings, Household Equipment and Services Group is completely blown out of the water by the changes to childcare. The next one to look at is the Health Group. There was a rise of 2.5% in medical and hospital services following a six-month price freeze to private health insurance premiums, which hit on the 1st of October 2020. Over the past 12 months, the group rose 2.6%. Transportation rose a little, with a rise of 1.8% in motor vehicles and 4.5% in urban transport fares. That was due to increasing demand for cars, combined with supply disruptions, which resulted in price rises and reduced prevalence of typical end-of-year run-out sales. The rise of urban transport fares was due to the cessation of discounts offered on Sydney off-peak fares. And they also included the chart for the average price of unleaded petrol, the 91 octane. And you can see there that prices have been oscillating around the 120-130 range. And in fact, they were higher relative to the June quarter, 110. The average is now 123. In the communications groups, there was a small fall in telecommunications equipment and services, and that continues to fall. In recreation and group culture, there was a rise of 6.3% in domestic holiday travel and accommodation following the reopening of state and territory borders and the commencement of the peak summer holiday period. International holiday travel and accommodation was imputed for the quarter, and of course it was very low. Education rose slightly with a rise of 5.4% in preschool and primary education as the main contributor, as out-of-pocket expenses increased following the cessation of free before and after care school services from the Early Childhood Education and Care Relief Package. Over the past 12 months, the group rose 2.1%. And the main contributor was secondary education, up 3.3%. Within the Insurance and Financial Services Group, there was a small rise, 0.7% in insurance. And over the past 12 months, that group has risen 1.2%. And international trade exposures were down 0.4% over the quarter, 0.6% annually. In tradables and non-tradables were up 1.5%, both quarterly and annually. And that was predominantly due to tobacco up 10.9% and childcare up 37.7%. And if you look at the seasonally adjusted and the LIC series, all group CPI rose 0.8% in the quarter and 0.9% for the year. The trimmed mean rose 0.4% following a revised rise of 0.3% in September. And over the 12 months to December 2020, the trimmed mean rose 1.2% following a rise of 1.2% over the 12 months to September 2020. And the weighted median rose 0.5% following a revised 0.2%. So the point to make here is that despite all of the tweaks and changes and government supports and things, underlying inflation is still sleeping. So across the cities, Sydney was up 1%, Melbourne was up 1.5%, Brisbane was up 1.1%, Adelaide was up 0.7%, Perth was down 1%, Hobart was up 0.8%, Darwin was up 0.6%, Canberra was up 0.8%, and the weighted average of eight capital cities was 0.9%. And so I just want to highlight the fact that within these numbers there are lots of moving parts and lots of one-off adjustments because of all the various government stimulus. But don't be misled. Overall inflation is still extremely low. And I still stand by my perspective that it is highly unlikely that we're going to see inflation stirring anytime soon. Now, of course, there is a separate discussion as to whether these numbers are actually measuring the right things on the right basis. And I've continued to argue that, in fact, the methodology that's used by the ABS, which is also similar to many other countries around the world, is intentionally designed to reduce inflation rates to lower levels than they really are. And the main pinch point relates to the property sector. And bearing in mind that for most households, the costs of living relating to property are so large, it's a joke in my mind that these are not more directly reflected in the numbers. And in fact, we use a sort of rental proxy, which is very approximate, particularly when rents are still falling in some places. The other point to make is that all of those stimulus measures, home builder and the other government stimulus to support the construction sector, is flowing through into higher prices simply because the construction sector and those offering properties off the plan put the prices up by more than the amount of the government support. Once again, this is evidence of the zero-sum game nature of government stimulus. And as I've continued to argue, this is a nutty policy which is not making housing more affordable for anyone. And it simply blurs the CPI and puts barriers up in place because housing affordability continues to deteriorate. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.